Try It in the Name of Love, a great song by U2. Of course, it is about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., but April 4th, shots ring out in the morning. That's not when it happened. Domati Pongo, anchor and reporter for this very radio station, WGN, is on the line with us. Domati, it did not happen in the morning, did it?
It did not. It happened on a rainy, not a rainy night, actually. The speech he gave was on a rainy night, but it happened in the evening.
Bono is wrong, and we need to get him on the line.
All right,
so,
we'll take
Domati,
care of this.
Talk to Bono. No,
right.
Kidding.
So exactly.
You are out in Memphis right now. It's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you've written a piece in the Chicago Sun-Times. It is out today. Talk to us.
Yeah, so I'm out here in Memphis. Today, the sanitation is a reenactment of the march that the sanitation workers did when they marched from 4th and Beale all the way to Mason Temple. And Mason Temple is where Dr. King gave his last speech, that foreboding from the mountaintop speech. So right now, I'm ducking off in the Peabody Hotel just to get away from all of the noise. But 1,000 or so marchers were out there. It was a campaign put together by AFSCME, a huge rally, kids out there singing. It feels more like a celebration, which is kind of eerie when you think about it, to commemorate something as sad as the loss of King. But people are celebrating it as a rejuvenation of the fight for rights of labor unions and for workers, and kind of like this rejuvenation of the Poor People's Campaign that King started to put together in the tail end of his life.
I was curious, Domati, as to what the mood would be. You just mentioned it's almost celebratory. I was kind of hoping it would be that way. And as you just pointed out, it's hard to imagine somebody being assassinated that anything would be celebratory. But there is some cause for celebration here, isn't there?
It is, depending on how you look at it, because in some respects, when I talk to people, it just depends on who you ask, because everyone comes from different parts of the country. I spoke to unions. They came all the way from New Jersey. Local 43 is here. They brought about 80 members with them. And if you talk to them, they're celebrating a renewed opportunity to fight for the same thing that King fought for. Then you have others who are celebrating the fact that 50 years later, things aren't as bad as they once were. But then you have a whole other cadre of people who say, well, with the current political climate, we feel like a lot of King's message is being lost in the shuffle, and we feel like we're regressing in a lot of ways. So some people are looking at this as a really sad experience and are looking to come down here for hope and kind of figure out what the next steps should be. So if you walk through Memphis, up Beale Street, you'll see these signs that say, MLK 50, where do we go from here? And so, you know, not just the African-American community, but marginalized people, the working class, is trying to figure out how to mobilize, much in the way that King did back then, to take things further. So so many different ideas, so many modes of thought, but all coming together for one cause here.
Domati Pongo on the line with us live from Memphis. Have you visited this area before, or is this the first time? And if so, how much does it touch you right now?
Wendy, I've never been to Memphis, and this has been an emotional whirlwind. I think last night was really the toughest night, because, you know, you got, like, today feels much more jubilant. Last night, I don't know if you guys caught some clips, and some of it ran in my news series. Dr. Bernice King, King's daughter, talks about how much her family has gone through since Dr. King was assassinated. She says, when daddy died, then, you know, I lost my grandmother, and then I lost an uncle, and then, my brother Dexter isn't adjusting well to life right now. And she says, I want you guys to pray for me. I want you guys to understand what we're going through, because few people understand the trauma that we're going through. And it made me think about the kids of Malcolm X and his grandkids, and they have been going through a tumultuous situation. So these families get kind of ripped apart. Like, we who are kind of removed from them can look at this kind of as a celebratory thing, because King gave his life to the world, but that was in some ways at the expense of his immediate family, and I think that's something we can't forget either.
As you wrote about, King's children recount pain of losing their dad, and Martin Luther King III said to his father on that morning, what did he say?
He said, Dad, don't go.
Isn't that just heartbreaking?
Yeah, it is. It is. I do have to say, Domedy, one of the highlights, you know, the rallies that were held a few weekends ago that were conducted by the high school students all around the country, when Martin Luther King's granddaughter came out and spoke, I thought that was one of the most touching moments of the entire day, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really, I think, man, it's like King has become somewhat of a figure, of a deity, someone that we look at as almost not human, much in the way that we look at celebrities who, you know, aren't necessarily change agents, but anybody who's in the public sphere, we kind of forget about that. And when Bernice King was speaking, she kept saying daddy. And I know that that was on purpose, but throughout the whole speech, she said, daddy would do this. Daddy would say, daddy would. I kind of forget that King is someone's dad, someone's brother, someone's son. And as you think about what he went through and how he's beloved now, it kind of reminds you of how badly he was hated at the time. And even now, some of the very people, and, you know, I've been talking to folks about this, you know, what do you think people would think about King today, or how would King look at society today? And they're like, well, honestly, if King was still alive, he wouldn't be loved. You know, Mark Harmon said yesterday when I was talking to him, people love the hate the marcher and love the martyr. So when people become martyred, then you love them. Then it's more easy to see, you know, look at Muhammad Ali, you know, once he was on the tail end of his protest, then the country history looked kindly upon him. But then if you look at Colin Kaepernick, who was in the midst of his protest, his, you know, right, modern times isn't looking kindly on him necessarily, but history may. So I think the same thing happens to King. And when you think about it in that respect, it's kind of unfortunate that he doesn't have the opportunity to see the fruits of his labor.
That dream that he had, Domedy, the I Have a Dream speech, will we ever achieve that, or is it just a dream?
I think it's very possible. When I look at thinking about the speeches, and you look at the marches for gun control, and you see those Parkland boys and girls who are of all races, actually predominantly white, and then you see people mobilizing in Chicago from the inner city that say, hey, wait a minute, we have a voice in this gun control thing, too, even though we experience gun violence differently from you. And then you have the Women's March and the Me Too movement, which some of these women wouldn't necessarily be thought of as, you know, economically disadvantaged. Some of these are well-to-do women who still go through the same things that oppressed people go through, and they're speaking out. And when you look at these different walks of life, figuring out how to move society forward, it makes you hopeful, and it makes you think that one day we will reach it.
I don't know. That's all I have is hope. That's all I have at this moment, and we have to have hope. What's on tap for the rest of the day in Memphis?
Oh, today is jam-packed at the Civil Rights Museum. It's going to be, let me pull out my itinerary, actually, because it's too much for me to remember offhand. I try to give myself too much credit, like I just know what was going on. But people are actually marching back to the Mason Temple, where King gave that last mountaintop speech. There's going to be a barbecue for the Unite Here marchers. That is all that's happening actually on the streets. And then at the Civil Rights Museum, you've got a ton of speakers. Father Michael Slager is in town, came out from Chicago. Reverend Jesse Jackson is in town. He's speaking today. A ton of Tamika Mallory, who is another women's rights activist, who is speaking today. A lot of organizers, a lot of speakers, a lot of inspiration, a lot of hugging, crying, laughter, love. It's going to be
perfect.
Great. Yeah.
Enough of every emotion. That's great.
Enjoy your emotions today.
Yeah, I'm a little overwhelmed. I don't know if you guys can tell. It is an emotional experience to be here, and I'm blessed to be able to experience this and report this for WGN.
You're doing a great job. The reports have been fantastic. So keep up the good work, Domedy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Have a good rest of the day.
That's Domedy Pongo from our news department in Memphis, Tennessee, for the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. Dr. John Duffy joins us after the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.